There's a two-day trial set for today and tomorrow that your honor canceled on his April 22nd order. We're still in the process of doing the briefing on that. We're going to let the court know.
So this trial order here, is this the one I litigated, the one in March? But, you know, my assistant called and someone said they only need a day for today, not 2 days.
Do you know who they called?
I would imagine if they called it, I probably was confused to whether they're clarifying today's hearing as opposed to...
My assistant's going to come out.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. All right.
Yes, Your Honor, no objection.
In the Simon Bernstein, but there's only one in the Shirley Bernstein. Can we do that first?
Okay.
We have a motion to compel. May I approach? Very simple motion to compel. Prior to my involvement, predecessor counsel served a request to produce on Elliot Bernstein December 19th. Mr. Bernstein has not responded and has indicated that he doesn't believe he should. He's indicated to me that he doesn't believe he should have to provide us with any discovery.
Okay. Hi, Elliot.
Hi.
So, you've got a request to produce in Shirley's estate, correct?
Correct.
And you haven't responded to anything?
Well, I think you're aware the last council fled town with the other council, and we put in motions that Ted should not be the PR, even though you ordered that. It was... He's got too many conflicts now with the fraudulent documents, changing beneficiaries, all that.
Yeah, but you still have to do a written response on discovery.
Oh, I didn't know because Mansieri left, and that was filed by Mansieri, and sending things to Mansieri would have been kind of crazy because he was resigning because of all that crazy.
Okay. All right, so what's the relief you're requesting on this one?
Oh,
we're compelling him to produce the documents.
Well,
but you don't produce, I don't ever do, the key is not the production, that's part two, part one is response. You need a response so you know what then you're going to get from production, because the response is fine.
I said, but if he really hasn't waived his objection by not filing a response, then I would be fine giving him 10 days to file a written response.
How much time? You have to file a written response to the request.
Okay.
How much time do you
need? I 30 days.
Well, why not? It's going to be a response. And then when you file your response, that's going to be a line item response. And then you have to produce that which you say is in your documents in your possession.
Unless I don't want to produce them to them.
Oh, no. There's no such thing as you don't want to.
Well, here's the problem. Right. I feel that right now, for example, here in this court, we're allowing people to act in fiduciary capacities that they don't have. You're about to see that their legal strategy is to harass me, and that's the document they're trying to keep privileged. And they're asking for very sensitive information that's involved in RICO cases in both Nevada and the U.S. District Court in New York.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Listen carefully. Here's how I'm handling this. I don't want you to give me speaking objections to the discovery. Okay, I'm going to change my order a little bit around. I'm moving the time frame up. You have 20 days from today to file a response. The response has to be line item. Pay attention to that. The rule requires that. Understand that part so far?
Address each thing in their thing.
Yes, why
not? Okay, got it.
Even though your time has passed, I'm going to allow you still to be able to make a legal objection. But understand, this is not a speaking objection. These aren't stories. These aren't long objections. Are, for example, someone would write, doesn't apply to you, attorney-client privilege, work product. Okay, a legally recognized objection, because otherwise discovery takes place in the foreign law.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
Now, Your Honor, I think though that.
So if you have a legally
recognized
objection, you have to put that in writing, and then he knows what that is. I know what it is. We're not guessing.
I get all that.
So I'm giving you a right to assert an objection, mm-hmm. even though it's late.
I get that, and I appreciate that. And my biggest concern is that I put in motion after motion to get rid of the PRs for all kinds of violations of fiduciaries, etc. I don't mind giving discovery to a guy like Ben Brown, who's honorable and doing things that I can't find anything wrong with. But when I find a litany of things that I've submitted to Your Honor, that, you know, we've got a hearing coming up to get rid of Ted in all these crazy capacities he's assuming. And some of them are literally crazy. Trustees have lost trust, starting federal insurance cases, etc. So, you know, I don't want to be given this guy who's got a plan to attack my children's school records in this, in all kinds of.
I don't know what discovery is, but Florida works it this way. You get discovery requests. If you have a legal objection, make it.
But doesn't it have to be that you're giving discovery to somebody who's qualified to be getting it?
Right now, as long as they're a party, Ted is currently right now successor PR of Shirley's estate.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's given no notice to anybody. No accountings were turned over by the last PR. Remember, the last PR.
Discovery, you know, I'll deal with that which is before me. Okay.
Well, so I put my stuff before you a long time ago, and it just keeps leading.
I hear stuff.
I've got a ton of motions that I haven't been heard since May.
You haven't done a notice of hearing?
I have, and I'm trying to do one, but this guy won't schedule anything unless I depose in all kinds of crazy conditions, and he's running around wasting everybody's time, money, etc.
Try to coordinate hearings.
I've been trying for days. We've called your clerk.
So sit in the back and try to coordinate. If you have matters pending, that he's trying to get you to get here.
I think there's some hearings coming up in July. All I said was we'd like to get the discovery and his deposition before we have the hearing on the motion that he's got pending.
If the motion...
The conditions.
I'll type an order and submit it after review, sending it to Mr. Bernstein, or do it right now.
Do it right now. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, you'll do it before you leave today. Now I have time.
Are you Ted's counsel as the PR of the estate? Am I correct on that, Alan? Are you acting, Alan? Yeah, I see. Here we go. Are you Ted's counsel? He's filed no notices of appearance in any cases. Yeah, but not the original pleading. I'm sure the law says something about that.
Now the EZ files, so I don't know which original or what's not.
Well, he's a replacement counsel, so he didn't file the original pleading. He's filed no notice of appearance in any matters.
Pleading like this, he says, Ted Bernstein, he says, I'm his lawyer. That's what he said?
Well, he hasn't addressed that. He didn't say he's Ted Bernstein's counsel's PR yet. I just asked him that.
Are you Ted Bernstein's lawyer?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
As PR to the Shirley estate?
Yeah.
Wait, it's don't answer that for him.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, what's next? Now we're going to Ted Bernstein?
Simon, Judge. I have the second petition for payment of curator's fees, and this would be for April. I don't know if there's any objection to it.
Sir, do you make that any objection?
The order is substantially similar to the first one, just changes the numbers.
Okay.
May I be heard on the petition? We have no objection to his fees, but I do think it's important to point out to the court that it's going to be related to the next motion we have, that Ms. Ellie Bernstein sends emails to Ben Brown, and we end up with petition for instructions. We had two of them on May 23rd, and you instructed everyone that he should not be Elliot's lawyer. And Elliot responds to him, he doesn't have to just jump through hoops. Ben is concerned that he fulfilled his duties, and you're not run afoul of Elliot. But we've got two or three more petitions, and the fees so far are approaching $50,000.
It works pretty simple, but if Mr. Brown is getting bombarded by a party, and and he's concerned that it may not be necessary but unreasonable, then he deals with that and causes himself not to have wasted time. But he knows how to handle that.
Yeah, we have no objection to Mr. Brown. It's not his, the issue's not really with him, but I think the curator needs some protection from constantly being bombarded.
He can protect himself.
Yeah, are you his attorney too?
This kind of dovetails into what happened on February 23rd. I did have the two motions for instruction. One of them was when Elliot asked me.
May 23rd.
Asked me to look into 44 different subcategories of documents and kind of take a lead on objecting to the Tesherman's preliminary accounting. The other one was with regard to the will, the 2012 will. And I have the pages of the transcript of what Your Honor said. And essentially, I said, it's not the curator's role to take the lead on objecting to the accounting. It's not the curator's role to.
Hold on a second.
And it's not the curator's role to challenge or even investigate the circumstances of the 2012 will. Your Honor.
But here's the thing. If I said that and you then are being asked to do something that you don't think is within the scope of the curatorship, then you make a decision based upon that.
Well, Your Honor, sometimes it's not necessarily all of that clear.
Well, that's why you use discretion and you decide what to get involved with and what not. Depending on that, I may hear from someone else who likes that idea or not.
Well, what Your Honor said on the 23rd was that you said stop, you don't have to go further. That's a position, that's law. You don't do that if there's an accounting, there's a rule on objections, the parties object, they don't use you, you don't work for them, which is true. I am no one here is attorney.
Right.
You work for the court, that's what you said. You said you're not an advocate, you don't investigate things that the parties may be interested in, they can do that. Do what they think they need to do based on the rules of procedure and statutes.
All right, so if someone asks you to do something that you think is outside the scope of what I ordered or what I mentioned to you, then don't do it.
Your Honor, you also didn't enter an order on those motions on May 23rd.
Well, someone has to submit them to me.
Well, I did, Your Honor. I submitted them, I submitted them to all the parties. Mr. Rose has some changes.
Oh, okay.
You then went on vacation, and unfortunately got ill. I sent you a letter that said, here are the competing orders, and here's what you said.
What? Can you see? I didn't see the competing orders. So here are they?
That's the order. Now, Mr. Elliot Bernstein,
I remember
he had an objection because he said that all of the minor beneficiaries didn't necessarily receive notice of the May 23rd hearing, but in fact, based on the email report, I believe that everyone has received, I mean, here's how long the email service list is. Everybody received notice.
So what's the dispute now with the form of these orders?
Well, the dispute was Mr. Rose had some changes to what I submitted.
Okay, so you folks then, did you agree upon the final form?
He's got handwritten. We didn't object. We didn't agree on a final form because I think, and I don't want to put words in Elliot's mouth, Elliot said, I don't agree to either orders because there are minor beneficiaries of the trust, the pour over trust, who weren't here on the 23rd or didn't get notice. And this is the notice service list. This is everybody.
Let's put the notice aside. Is there any other, have you guys agreed upon the form of the order now? Put the notice aside.
I think that my comments are minor, and I think Mr. Brown had approved them, so I have no objection to the order.
So where's that, in this packet, give me a clean order, Mr. Brown.
I didn't have a problem with, it's not necessarily a clean order, rather it's an order. This has Mr. Rose's changes that he's written in, but this could better be clear.
Nice. Do we all have copies of Rose's thing?
Let me see what it is.
Mr. Rose, I emailed to everybody. But they're attached to that May 30th letter.
Give you a copy. Any reason not to sign this based upon that hearing that I have?
He's not authorized as the estate if he finds missing items or whatever to challenge the accounting as the estate.
He's not filing objections to the accounting the party does. You're not, correct?
Well, he's the estate, isn't he? Isn't he a party as known as the estate?
Yeah, but he's the curator. It's different.
I'm essentially a caretaker.
Let me ask you this. If you're the PR and you've got an accounting that's fraudulent in front of you, don't you have a duty to challenge that? And
maybe so, but that's up to.
But you're saying he's not authorized. Precluding him.
He is not.
Well, he's the PR technician.
No, I'm not. I am not the personal representative, and I have declined to serve.
He's the curator.
In fact, Your Honor, I was supposed to be the curator for just a couple of months.
Right, yeah.
We don't even have a hearing set, and.
Yeah, the parties have to do the objections to the accounting.
Okay.
And Your Honor, that's just the last point. It's not anything that's teed up today, is that we don't have a hearing set.
Well, we need a hearing. I can't deal with getting hearing dates. I mean, is there a problem with getting hearing dates?
There's not a problem with getting hearing dates. There's a problem with getting anybody to move to appoint a personal representative. And
well, I think the hearing is up to the
there is a motion objecting to the accountings. But there's no hearing set to appoint a personal representative. And I'm, you know, frankly, I'm the curator.
Well, at some point, if no one wants to be PR, I'll discharge you and the estate will be closed. I'll just close the estate.
I think that's the case right now. Nobody wants to be PR.
Well, that's not true.
Well, someone has to file a petition, though.
Well, I've got a ton of petitions in that I'm trying to get hearings. Like I said, they're blocking it trying to get this case closed. And I mean, you just said, are you having problems scheduling hearings? I want hearings, you know, since May. I mean,
hold on, let me take a look at this one. Okay, all right, so I'm going to order everyone cooperating and coordinating hearings. That's a silly thing to have difficulty with.
Well, am I forced to take a deposition before I schedule a hearing with you on unrelated?
You can schedule a hearing. Then you get a hearing date.
I don't schedule a hearing until I take a deposition.
And here's the way it works. Scheduling is one thing.
Right.
Discovery is another thing.
That's right.
You try to do your discovery based upon hearing dates coming up. So if you get a hearing date in 30 days, that would tell you you have to have a discovery sooner. If you had a hearing in 6 months, unlike in my division, then you could spread out your discovery request, but they're separate and apart.
No, but I'm trying to schedule a hearing, and he's refusing unless I take deposing.
You get a hearing, and then depending upon what the nature is that's going to be heard, if discovery is necessary, you can do discovery.
Those no.
are two independent items.
But your secretary or your clerk has told us that we have to coordinate our hearings with these guys. It doesn't seem they have to do that with us, since none of this is scheduled with our knowledge built in your court. But nonetheless, if I want to schedule a hearing, I got to get approval from 9 guys. 3 of them won't respond at all. Alan Rose says, you better take a deposition or I'm not scheduling hearings. And, you know, and they're trying to delay it so they can get into all these hearings while a bunch of criminals sit around and, you know.
I'll have my assistant come out and see you folks when you're done here, before you all leave, and she'll coordinate hearings with you.
Well, I can't do that. I got to go back and check my schedules and... Can I call in?
You want quick service?
Can I call in? Well, I appreciate that. I greatly appreciate that.
There's a rule that says
I didn't bring a cell phone. I don't have my schedule. I've got doctors. That's the biggest concern. And if I'm free on those days they want to schedule, I'm great. I already gave them a date. You know, it's July 14th or something. Your secretary's been holding it.
Yeah, the problem with the 20 personal representatives is not the COVID. If there is no hearing date because nobody has actually filed a motion to appoint a personal representative.
Right, but Elliot says he has.
There's 2 motions pending. There's a petition by Ted to be the personal representative. I think Elliot may have filed a petition to be the personal representative. We need to set those for a contested hearing. Before we undertake the time...
He denied Ted's motion. Ted already filed a motion to be PR and he denied it.
Okay.
We had a motion pending, Your Honor, and you appointed a curator.
Right.
In the meantime, to avoid it, what's going to be a very expensive and costly battle, I've been having discussions with Mr. Brown as curator, and a number of discussions of a way to try to streamline the estate. Mr. Brown can confirm that that's the goal.
Sure.
Just of those discussions. I've tried to have discussions with some of the other beneficiaries to see if you could at least get a consensus. I thought that was a worthwhile exercise before we have what's going to be a half a day or a day contested trial on who should be the PR.
Right.
One of the motions dovetails into that. I have 2 motions pending today. One is a motion to compel Elliot Bernstein to appear for deposition and to comply with the privilege rule. We had a hearing, you may recall, on May 23rd with inadvertent privilege. So I have that motion. And I also have a motion that relates to Mr. Brown, who wanted that motion first, in case Mr. Brown wanted to leave. We filed a petition, a motion for...
I'd like to do the privilege, because if we get through this, we'll find out that he might not even be here.
I actually prefer to do
The order that Mr. Brown owns.
I don't know that I like it, but I don't have any opposition to it.
This is the one about the mortgage.
Okay.
This is a motion. This is kind of in line with Your Honor's instruction. Ted Bernstein, as successor trustee of the Simon Bernstein Trust, has asked the curator to take action with regard to an asset of the estate. Mr. Brown has indicated, consistent with your ruling, that's not his job. We have filed a motion seeking instruction. And we are before you addressing one of there's only a handful of real assets in this state. One of the assets in the state of Simon Bernstein is a second mortgage that the state holds on a piece of property. The property is owned by an entity called Bernstein Family Realty, LLC. That's an entity that was created by Simon while he was alive. And while he was alive, Simon was the manager of that entity. This Bernstein Family Realty, which owns this house, there's also a first mortgage on the house held by the seller back when the house was sold in 2008. So there's a first mortgage of $110,000 purchase money mortgage. That mortgage matured technically a few years ago and they did an amendment. And they extended the term for 3 years. The lease matures on June the 19th, which is in about 7 days, next week. The first mortgage matured. They're owed $110,000 plus interest. The mortgage is held by a gentleman named Walter Somm. There's unpaid taxes for 2013. We're told that the house is not insured. Okay, that's the starting point.
What the estate has, which Mr. Brown is in possession of, is the estate has a second mortgage on that property. As a second mortgage holder on property, when there's a first mortgage, unpaid taxes, no insurance, you would want to take action to try to protect whatever equity is in the property. The current occupant of the house, and just so I can assure you, you're going to hear it in a minute, this is in no way to try to harm Elliot. This is to try to protect the assets during the estate, to try to protect the value of it. But the tenant of the property is Elliot Bernstein and his family. They live in there rent-free, they don't pay taxes. I don't have all the information other than that. And just, if you indulge just for a little background, I think Simon bought the house for Elliot. And he put the ownership, though, in an entity called Bernstein Family Realty, and it's encumbered by two mortgages, and the mortgages exceed the value of the property. I don't know what it's exactly worth. I attached a Zillow, which is not an appraisal.
So what's the issue here?
Well, the issue is someone's got to administer the second mortgage. It's in default, and no one's been administering it. And someone's got to
administer it in collection of payment?
Potentially, or do something to protect its assets. And in addition, we've asked for permission to have the estate potentially buy the first mortgage. Because if we don't take care of the first mortgage on June 19th, what's going to happen is Mr. Somm is going to hire a legal counsel.
Simon held a note mortgage, second mortgage.
Right.
Who's the mortgagor?
Bernstein Family Realty.
But they own the property.
They own the property, and they're the title owner. They're the mortgage. They're the mortgagee of the property.
Okay, but who's the mortgagor?
Of the second mortgage, Simon Bernstein, while he was alive, so now it's the estate of Simon Bernstein.
So he owes the money. He's the debtor. On the debtor-creditor part of the mortgage. Simon is the debtor.
No, Simon is the creditor. Bernstein Family Realty, and then he sells the house.
So they own the house, and Bernstein Family Realty borrowed $360,000, or whatever the amount of the second mortgage is?
Correct. Bernstein Family Realty essentially owes $110,000 plus interest to Walter Somm. He's the first mortgage holder. And Bernstein Family Realty also owes $365,000 plus interest to the estate of Simon Bernstein.
And that transaction, how did that second mortgage come about?
I think Simon put up all the money for the house and the renovation. And so in order to be paid for
it, the owner gives him a second mortgage back.
Correct. He was the manager of the ownership entity. Simon structured this to Bernstein Family Realty. Bernstein Family Realty, after Simon passed away, the new manager of Bernstein Family Realty is Oppenheimer. And I believe the owners of the equity of Bernstein Family Realty are three trusts created for Elliot's three children. There's no one's disputing that. But the house is clearly upside down, unless it's worth more than $500,000, which it doesn't appear to be worth more than $500,000. If it is, that's great, because that's better for the estate. The concern here for the Ted as the fiduciary for the trust is that we have an asset. It's the mortgage. It's not fully secured. It's probably mostly secured, if you know what I mean, partially secured. There's equity in the property over and above the first mortgage and the taxes, but there's not enough to pay it off in full. And so the concern is that Walter Somm, who's a third-party, innocent guy, is going to have to file a lawsuit to foreclose his mortgage. Elliot's going to be potentially a party to that lawsuit because he's a tenant. Mr. Somm will probably spend $100,000 or $200,000 in legal fees fighting with Elliot Bernstein, and then at the end of the day, poof, there's nothing left. And he pays $365,000 on mortgage is worth nothing. We've raised the issue with Mr. Brown. We have worked very closely with him, cooperating.
Well, to deconstruct all those lies, you really want me to start. My father bought a house for my children. It wasn't an asset to the estate till suddenly the guys who altered the estate documents put it on an amended inventory right after the long arm of the law knocked on their door and said, come to the sheriff's office. This is part of an extortion. I put it in motion to you. I asked for emergency hearings, and what they've done is beyond criminal. First of all, my the company, DFR, is owned by my three kids entirely. The house, trusts own the house, okay? My brother and Oppenheimer conspired, and I got a whole bunch of stuff showing that what's happened here, to take over the management position of DFR. When my father died, there was supposed to be a vote by the members, my three minor children, which would be me or my wife as guardians, to elect a new member. Instead, Spallina anointed Janet Kreg of Oppenheimer to self-anoint herself as manager of BFR. Then, after they misused all these funds, telling us, oh, we're going to use the kids' education funds to pay your house expenses, when there's all these other entities that have been paying for the house for years, my brother, Janet Kreg of Oppenheimer, says, oh, I'm turning over the management to Ted. And she hands him all my personal files, my kids, all our statements, bills, everything, which I don't even get the bills. They've been going through BFR where my father handled them. Really?
What's the relief that you're asking?
Oh.
The relief is for first, at the request of the curator would like to transfer the asset to the trustee of the of Simon's revocable trust. The revocable
is the property that's owned by Bernstein Family Realty LLC?
No, technically the asset is just the mortgage.
It's the mortgage.
Yeah, the you know, the tangible.
That's owned by the estate.
That's owned by the estate under the control of Mr. Brown. The estate would remain liable for any, you know, the trustee of the revocable trust is liable for the debts of a creditor. So, you know, Mr. Stansbury is in the council is here, and he would be someone that might object to that. But we're not asking to transfer it, other than to have someone other than Mr. Brown, who's not prepared to administer the asset, to administer the asset. And in fact, the discussion I've had with Mr. Brown, I mean, one of Mr. Brown's discussions with me was, he could transfer all the assets in the estate to the revocable trust. The trustee of the revocable trust to administer the assets, he would still be liable to Mr. Stansbury's brain claim. And, you know, you've got Mr. Brown as a curator take a very nominal role, so we don't incur as much money. Alternatively, we have the PR hearing, which will...
We need to have an evidentiary hearing on this, don't we, Your Honor?
But in the short...
Yeah,
in the short term, you know, if you look at the exhibit we attached, the second mortgage, it's exhibit A. I don't have tabs, I apologize, but if you flip through,
see it.
Yeah. So there's a promissory note. It's signed by Simon Bernstein. I mean, I don't think there's any question that's Simon's signature. He did it in July of 2008. And if you go to the next page, which is the actual second mortgage, it's recorded in the public records of this county on September the 4th, 2008.
Missing the promissory note.
So.
Which was supposed to be attached, but it's not.
I didn't think that, I would request that Mr. Bernstein not comment when I'm speaking.
That's true.
So we have a mortgage, the second mortgage. It's signed by Simon Bernstein. He set up this structure with Bernstein Family Realty. I don't care about the structure. We don't control Bernstein Family Realty. We have nothing to do with it. Our concern is, very simply, if you ask Elliot Bernstein, what are you going to do when Walter Somm files a foreclosure action, he's going to tell you, I'm going to make Walter Somm spend every penny he's got to try to foreclose the mortgage on Bernstein Family Realty, and we're going to be back here in 2 years or whenever saying the mortgage is worthless because it's all been burned away in fees. But at the same time, I don't think it's appropriate for Mr. Brown or the estate to buy the mortgage until we take the deposition of Mr. Bernstein and find out if he has any issues with regard to the mortgage or the structure. I mean, other than, you know, everything is a conspiracy.
Okay, I got it. All right.
Okay, I got more.
May it please the court?
Yes.
Oh. Peter Payne on behalf of Mr. Stansbury is about the largest and only creditor of the estate. Mr. Stansbury's interest, obviously, is to preserve and protect the assets of the estate in the event that he's successful in his litigation. We've been in touch with Mr. Somm. Mr. Stansbury actually knows Mr. Somm, the first mortgage holder, and it's possible to get him to forbear for a little while until we get this straightened out.
Why don't you try to do that? Because I'd really like to get past the PR stage, because that would clear the way to have things done in the ordinary course.
Right. And so we think we can do that.
Okay.
He told me he won't do anything precipitous He knows, he knew Mr. Bernstein, he knows Mr. Stansberry, and he...
Okay.
Your Honor, one last...
So hold on, no. I'm deferring on the motion for instruction in this case.
I'm going to go ahead and see dates in early August.
Okay.
Because we've got notice of unavailability for July.
Okay.
And frankly, between now and early August, I can minimize my fees by just hanging on to what these states got.
So you guys have coordinated those hearings in a few hours.
I've never not coordinated a hearing.
Okay. What's next? The last one.
Last one. Two motions to compel.
Actually, maybe excuse your honor, I have
nothing. Sure.
On the motion we just heard, Your Honor, I'll send in an order that said the motion is deferred and that Mr. Stansberry will work with Mr. Thom and report to the parties. Okay. We've got two motions to compel. One is very simple. One is more complicated. They're in the same document. The first one is just the deposition. I've asked Mr. Bernstein if I could take his deposition, get some dates. He indicated that he would not appear for deposition for whatever reason. In order to tell him to appear for deposition within 20 days or something to that effect.
Okay, and the matters you want to depose him on or what?
Well, we have, there are a number of pending petitions. So they're set for evidentiary here. Some of them involve things he wants the trustee or the person representative to do for him and other relief.
Hold on. So, Elliot, do you have pending petitions?
I do.
Okay, so, and you want hearing dates on those?
Right? All of them, yeah.
All right. And so two things are going to happen. You're going to get hearing dates and you're going to sit for deposition.
I never said I wouldn't sit for a deposition.
You just said you wouldn't.
Well, he says things for me that are just completely untrue, like the last whole litany of things I said about Walt Thom. By the way, I got a letter here from Walt Thom that addresses that he's mortified at what they're doing.
Okay.
I submitted that to the court already.
I want you to sit for deposition. They're entitled to depose you on the outstanding petition.
Maybe.
And I want a hearing date.
Okay, I'd like to have my
hearing date. Take place before the hearing date.
Well, I need to have the hearing if they're qualified to DPR. My brother's saying he's successor trustee here before you today. He's never sent out notice. The guys you threw out of here that were acting that way haven't noticed anybody that they've transferred it to Ted, that he's accepted. Accountings haven't been sent out. No procedural work. In fact, you appointed my brother PR on my mom's estate, God knows how long ago. No accountings. We have 3 years, no accountings in my mother's estate or trust. There's robbery and fraud going on right before your nose every day because these two clowns continue to represent. Okay, whatever. Okay, these two people are not following any rules or procedures. And we keep having hearings that are hurting my family with people who are working to hurt me and haven't followed a single rule of thing. He hasn't notified anybody.
You're going to schedule your hearing. You call up and my assistant will give you 3-4 hearing dates. You'll call, you coordinate. And if you say that you're not cooperating, pick a date.
Okay. Well,
you say that, and that's the rule that applies.
Okay, perfect.
If one side says the other side's not cooperating, pick a date, and then I'll determine whether there's
cooperation. Okay, that'll, and I don't want to be deposed before I have those hearings to see if they're qualified to depose me. Because I do not want this.
I'm letting them take your deposition on your pending petition.
No, we already have a petition. Yeah,
your petition. So if you're going to get hearing dates on, they can take discovery.
Oh, just on that?
On those matters.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine. Okay.
There's a hearing currently set for July 12th. It's an hour hearing on some objections to accountants.
Okay.
On behalf of the trustee, we got an extension to file objections to accountants. Mr. Block, who represents Teschner and Spleen, is here. He wasn't in the loop for that. And so we have an hour of your time reserved. I would suggest it might be appropriate to have a status conference. We could have a status conference before the August evidentiary hearing on all the pending matters, where everyone could be able to come in and actually go over the pending matters, see what issues can be resolved and what issues are open. Because we have an hour of your time, which is valuable. And
okay, fine.
So, and then, okay. And the last motion we have is the second half of this. We've addressed this issue once. This is with the email that my client inadvertently sent to Elliot Bernstein.
Right.
You did deal with it. You dealt with it in a sort of an informal way. It was all. It happened on a Thursday night at your Friday morning. I raised it because I was concerned that I wanted it to be dealt with immediately.
Is the inadvertent disclosure?
Yes, sir. And Mr. Bernstein said that he would comply with what Your Honor said. We have a transcript of the hearing.
You told him go home and read the rule.
Yeah, there's a rule that says
I went and read it. It's not privilege. It's a letter from my brother to me. There's no attorney involved. I don't know what they're talking about. This is more of this harassment. And when you read this letter, the reason they want to hide this letter between my brother and me.
But the letter aside for a moment, if there's a claim of inadvertent disclosure, which is what they made,
right?
Then under the rule, you do what you're supposed to do.
Okay. Well, let's say that my brother inadvertently sent me an email saying, hey, Alan, let's murder my brother, which is basically what this says. And then all of a sudden they want to retract it and pull it back and hide it from the world. They've gotten the levy thread across. Now, I sent this letter out, as I told you, the minute I read it to everybody who's named in it, and I've already had two people call saying they're afraid of my brother being crazy and starting to harass them based on this letter.
So we're getting far afield.
Okay, well, it's not a...
Did you respond?
Yeah, I told them I don't believe so. Let's set a hearing.
At the hearing on that day, Mr. Elliott said he'll do all that. He'll do what you told him to do.
Yeah, this is not a permanent client privilege.
Sir, can I please speak?
Yeah.
So, I got an email from Elliott after the hearing that said, I just got back and will definitely delete and destroy the email in accordance with the law. That's the first email from Elliott. That was at 1:05 on the day of the hearing. And then I got at 3:30 an email from his colleague, Crystal Cox, who's the woman that blogs things, basically using expletives against me. And then Ms. Cox has taken the letter that was privileged and has republished it, emailing it to lawyers in the case and putting it on the internet. And then I got an email from Elliot Bernstein telling me that he will not comply with the issue and he wants to challenge the assertion of the privilege. So I realized this was at 8:45 and I, you know, it may need to be set for an evidentiary hearing, but we're here and we could do an evidentiary hearing to decide this privilege issue.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Yeah. No, we can't have an evidentiary hearing. I need the rest of the stuff.
Did
he file a response in the court?
To you, though.
He did respond to me.
Say that, did he do what the rule says? Party receiving a notice of inadvertent disclosure either destroys the matters, it says that it, you know, they've taken care of it and nothing's been disclosed, disseminated, or they can actually...
It's not an inadvertent disclosure.
But they've made that claim it is.
No, oh, okay.
And then the rule says if you want to challenge that, you have to do that in writing.
I did, I told them I'm challenging it, let's set a hearing.
He said the challenge. He said it wasn't privileged.
I think he's
one of the grounds.
In an email, I think he's taking the position that it's not privileged. It was
okay,
intended
so
for
him. That's one of the rule-related items you can mention.
But during the intervening time, he's not allowed to be sending it out and never having it.
I even sent it to a single person that didn't already get it before I came to this court. I contacted all those people out of respect to Your Honor and what my word was, and I said, hey, guys, here's a rule, you're supposed to destroy this possibly, contact your lawyer, whatever. Crystal Cox said to him, screw you, I don't control her, she's a blogger, nobody seems to be able to control her, but that's her. More waste of money.
There's a lot of talk about order for the officer and injunction. He just said he can't control Crystal Cox. He sends her everything in this case. He sends her every pleading, every order. He sent her my privileged email. She's sending it around, you know, her email to me says, I cordially invite you to go blank yourself. And then she goes on me. And then she sends the email, the same email, this privileged email she sent to every counsel and party in the case twice already. He should be enjoined from communicating with her if he cannot communicate.
So he's already made a statement on the record that is alien, that since the time that he got the notice of inadvertent disclosure, he has made no new disclosure to anyone. True?
True.
Okay. That's.
So we didn't, and I did everything else for police right. Sake.
An evidentiary here.
Yes.
Okay. You want the order from the first, or you want to just mail them? Okay.
Yes.
I'll mail all three orders in. I'll send it off counsel, sir.
Thank you. Sorry, 9:30.
Hope you feel better, Your Honor.
Thanks for getting it.